Noam Chomsky's 1979 media study, The Political Economy of Human Rights, is a major revision of a 1973 book, Counter-Revolutionary Violence, Bloodbaths in Fact and Propaganda. Bloodbaths purports to study the institutionalization of atrocity myths. Described as atrocity management and political economy, Chomsky claims the Western news media's coverage of post-Second Indochina War Cambodia demonstrates as clearly as any topic considered in the 1979 edition the workings of what he calls the free press system of propaganda. Chomsky refers to the theoretical construct used in political economy to analyze news media response to events in Pol Pot's Cambodia as a propaganda model. This model, according to the Harvard professor, possesses a certain predictive power. Prior to the end of the Second Indochina War, Edward Herman, Political Economy's co-author, had forecast that the media would conjure up a fearsome picture of a massive bloodbath in the wake of the U.S. withdrawal from South Vietnam as post hoc justification for U.S. intervention. In his exposition in Political Economy of what he calls mass media supply of and demand for communist atrocities, Chomsky says that despite official forecasts carried in the press that massive reprisals would be a virtually certain result of communist victory in South Vietnam, the promised Vietnamese bloodbath never materialized. Consequently, the press, as a supposed principal proponent of this bloodbath theory, latched on to Cambodian violence, Chomsky says, as a drowning man seizes a life buoy. Editorial condemnation of Cambodian atrocities in the mainstream media, the professor observes, dates from mid-1975, immediately following the victory of the Khmer Rouge. And from then on, Chomsky says, the news media bewailed the fate of Cambodian victims of communist terror on an almost daily basis. Chomsky was a proponent in the 70s of the no bloodbath argument. The Harvard professor believed that the 1953 population classification in North Vietnam had been calumnied as a bloodbath, and that whatever the policies of the governments that would come to power at the end of the Second Indochina War, they would be similarly defamed in the Western media. Within a few weeks of the Khmer Rouge takeover, the New York Times, as predicted by Chomsky and Herman's propaganda model, was already accusing Pol Pot of genocide. And from then on, the professor says, it was a drumbeat, a chorus of genocide. At that point, according to Chomsky, a couple of hundred people may have been killed. Other estimates, however, are higher. The post-Pol Pot government of Cambodia, in a 1979 submission to the UN, estimates that 500,000 people died during those weeks. The July 9, 1975 editorial in the New York Times, cited by Chomsky as an apparent documented instance of the atrocity mongering he denounces, says only that tens of thousands of Cambodians were believed to have perished in the weeks following the Khmer Rouge takeover during the forced exodus, victims of hunger, thirst, exhaustion, and diseases, including a spreading cholera epidemic. As further evidence of the anti-communist atavism he denounces, Chomsky cites a characterization in Newsweek of the rustication of Phnom Penh as pure and simple genocide. The statement, unattributed in Newsweek, is from François Scheller, chief of the UN Development Project in Phnom Penh in 1975. As a relief worker, Scheller was well aware of the needs of the capital's population, which had swollen to 3 million at the time of the takeover. Khmer Rouge rustication policy and repudiation of humanitarian aid led ineluctably to the deaths of scores of thousands of Cambodians in the weeks following the takeover. Instead of being atrocity mongering, Scheller's characterization of Khmer Rouge policy in Newsweek was entirely prescient, and the human catastrophe described by the New York Times was a tragic realization of the UN officials' anguished prediction. Scheller's Cambodian family was among those forced to leave the capital in the Khmer Rouge's rustication of the country's cities and towns. Loads of food and medical supplies are waiting in Bangkok in Vientiane for permission to land in Phnom Penh after the Khmer Rouge takeover. The population in the capital believed the surrender of Republican forces and cessation of hostilities would mean the imminent arrival of massive humanitarian relief. The new authorities rejected this aid, and millions of Cambodians were marched for weeks and months into the hinterland as impressed labor in the rice fields. Chomsky and Herman cite an April 1975 U.S. aid report. They says slave labor and starvation rations will be a cruel necessity for half the country's population following the takeover as support for Khmer Rouge rustication policy. The U.S. aid report, however, is not an assessment for post-war consequences of the war, as a media analyst cited in Political Economy, but a warning of the consequences of an abrupt curtailment of aid. By suppressing the context of the report, Chomsky and Herman misrepresented as an assessment for the aftermath of the war, and not as it in fact is, an urgent plea for massive humanitarian intervention. The pair then go on to claim that rejection by many Cambodian specialists of the explanation given by the Pol Potists, that the evacuation was motivated in part by impending famine, demonstrates a casual attitude towards crucial facts. It had hardly been irrational, the pair charge, for the Pol Pot regime to assume that the United States would leave the country to starve, and thus repudiate gloating by the New York Times over the suffering of our victims in post-war Cambodia, they say, was one of the most hypocritical displays of feigned indignance in modern history. Thank you. The Western media, according to Chomsky and Herman's propaganda model, invariably respects certain principles in its coverage of official enemies. Agent transference, the third principle of the media analyst's theory of the free press, occurs when the media assigns responsibility for the results of U.S. policy to official enemies. A dramatic instance of such agent transference, according to the pair, is evidenced in the July 9, 1975 New York Times editorial, which they say transfers liability for suffering in Cambodia from the U.S. to Pol Pot. These principles, or constants of media performance in a capitalist domestic matrix, are derived from similarities between projected and manifest amplitudes and rates of press response. The principal assumption and linchpin in the media analyst's theoretical construct for predicted media response to the 1975 takeover was that it would not be congruent with the actual human consequences of the American withdrawal from the Southeast Asian country, and would in fact grossly exaggerate the human cost of Pol Potization. Notwithstanding such projections, the New York Times estimate for deaths caused by Khmer Rouge rustication policy and rejection of aid is extremely conservative. As further evidence for their claim that the Khmer Rouge evacuation of Phnom Penh averted famine and saved lives, they claim U.S. State Department Cambodia watcher Charles Twining, at the July 1977 hearings on human rights in Cambodia, concurred with their assessment. However, what Twining in fact testified was that when he arrived in Thailand in 1975, medicines from non-aligned countries were waiting to be transported to Cambodia. The Cambodians would not accept them, and they were given to refugee camps. If the Khmer Rouge didn't care more about their people than that, the committee was told, they were guilty of killing them. The evacuation of Phnom Penh's 20,000 hospital patients after the Khmer Rouge takeover was witnessed by 26 journalists at the French embassy. Families and friends were compelled to carry non-ambulatory patients with their serum drips held over their heads into the countryside in 40 degrees centigrade heat, with no provision for medical care or water. The capital's 3 million rusticants forced out of the city in the April to June march subsisted on surface water, and cholera was controlled by closing sections of highway. A crude birth rate of 4.5% indicates that thousands of pregnancies came to term on the highways. Many proved fatal for both mother and child. Exhaustion and heat prostration decimated the elderly population. Hundreds of thousands of rusticants, unaware that the new authorities would countenance no interference, even humanitarian, in their country's affairs, survived in the little provisions they had been able to carry and camped in squalid conglomerates outside the city. Most had been told that they would be allowed to return to the capital in 3 days. Cholera spread quickly. A Cambodian physician who spent a month on various roads and trails before escaping to Vietnam recounts treating between 20 and 30 people for cholera every day, half of whom were not going to live. At the height of the epidemic, he passed the body of a child every 200 yards, most of whom had died of gastrointestinal afflictions, which caused complete dehydration. The doctor had some medicine, but most children brought to him required massive dosages and lengthy rest afterwards. Neither was available. There are reports of summary executions of entire families for failing to comply immediately with the order to evacuate. Forced disappearances of entire extended families along the evacuation routes were also reported, along with reports of detainees being taken from the highways and shooting hurt afterwards. Execution sites were also discovered by rustic and foraging besides the highways. Less than 20,000 troops entered Phnom Penh, and the ratio of Khmer Rouge to rusticans was hundreds to one. As the deported population became increasingly demoralized and less responsive to orders during the weeks and months in the highways, executions mounted. Pol Pot told assembled cadre in 1988 that the liquidation of Republican soldiers and officers had been necessary because they were imperialist strata. Families of former civilian and military officials were also executed. The CIA estimates 50,000 people were liquidated in the first weeks of Khmer Rouge rule. Notwithstanding claims by Chomsky that media response to the human catastrophe in Cambodia was extraordinary, James Wiggins, a former editor of the Washington Post, says that the press had been extremely reluctant to report on the situation in post-war Cambodia, and consequently, events in the Southeast Asian country after the takeover went relatively unreported. Wiggins attributes this to saturation on the part of the American public by news of suffering in Indochina, widespread sympathy in the press for the new governments, and lack of photographic evidence. Lek Hoar Tan, editor of Index on Censorship in 1981 and a former Khmer Rouge cadre, is more generous. According to the University of London Oriental and African Studies professor, coverage of post-war Cambodia in the New York Times and other leading liberal newspapers had been consistently fair, balanced, and accurate. Several periodicals are cited by Chomsky in the 1992 film Manufacturing Consent as representative of the anti-communist outpouring of fury and outrage the professor claims issued from the press in 1975 to 1978. Including the Far Eastern Economic Review, a Hong Kong-based business weekly, and one of the few journals which dedicates full-time coverage to Southeast Asia. The 18 July 1975 issue, however, reports that allegations of wholesale executions of Lon Nol government and civilian officials trickling out of Cambodia through refugee and intelligence sources should be regarded with suspicion, as they come from sources which can hardly be considered detached and disinterested. The 23 May 1975 issue reassures the magazine's circulation that the more blood-curdling stories coming out of Cambodia can probably be discounted. Similarly, instead of propounding any liberal-derived bloodbath theory, a 28 April 1975 Newsweek piece in the U.S. withdrawal from Indochina titled "Will There Be a Bloodbath?" reports that an investigation by the magazine's reporters cast doubt on the bloodbath theory. Chomsky's claims regarding the media are not new. According to George Lucas in History and Class Consciousness, a commodity relation permeates administration and intellectual areas in explaining news media subordination. This phenomenon is seen at its most grotesque, Lucas says, in journalism, and is a product of journalists' lack of convictions and prostitution of their experiences and beliefs, and is comprehensible only as the apogee of capitalist reification. In Chomsky and Herman's propaganda model, such reputed ideologically derived distortion is a form of refraction. Agent transference is an apparent subspecies or artifact of this. Such reification or refraction implies some predisposition. This supposedly systemic derogation of journalistic ethics by the news media derives in Chomsky's propaganda model from the operative principle of the free press, which, according to political economy, is economic freedom. This freedom, presupposed in what the media analysts call the free world model for third world development, is the freedom for U.S. business to invest, sell, and repatriate profits, the abrogation of which thrusts competing socioeconomic systems, such as Pol Potism, into the international media limelight and sets the analyst's ordinal principles, like agent transference, into motion. Chomsky and Herman's primary source in the evacuation of Phnom Penh was the Committee of Patriotic Kampucheans, a group of Cambodians, three of whom had lived in areas under Khmer Rouge administration in 1970 and 1975. The committee's work reputedly controverted what Chomsky and Herman called the standard media picture of the evacuation. And the media analysts claimed that a 1977 report by Chu Meng Tar and her husband, a New Zealand national, was the only published account by participants in the evacuation. Among other claims, the couple say that the sick and wounded in Phnom Penh hospitals were evacuated to more hygienic surroundings, and that the aged and ill were not expected to join in the march. The TAR's account, according to the media analysts, demonstrates their general theory of the free press, which states that non-atrocity reports of acts commissioned by Marxist regimes are suppressed as policy by liberal news media. Nonetheless, sick and wounded, despite the TAR's claims, were walking to their deaths. Chu Meng Tar would later learn that her parents, Sino Khmer, had been killed by the Khmer Rouge. There were also other published accounts by participants in the forced march. Bernard Hazebrouck, a French schoolteacher evacuated with his Cambodian family, gives a detailed account of the first 5 days of the exodus in the May 26, 1975 Nouvelle Observateur. He saw patients still being pushed by their families in hospital beds in the highways 3 days after the city had been emptied. People collapsed by the wayside, a woman giving birth in the highway, and much brutality on the part of the new authorities before being returned as a foreign national to the French embassy. Chomsky's support for the Pol Pot regime is well known. The professor almost completely alone opposed the 1979 Vietnamese invasion of Cambodia that ended starvation and slaughter under the Khmer Rouge. Chomsky's claims in political economy regarding Cambodia and the media would indeed be shocking if they were true. No system is without bias. This is a truism. However, Chomsky fails in his model of press response to the Khmer Rouge takeover to demonstrate this, and instead reveals his own bias, which is as much a product of ideological blindness and distortion as the supposed media deception he claims to expose. Thank you.